yeah. We were we're talking about the collective prayer and the collect in a collective consciousness. So we've been involved in several different
Well, I mean,
churches.
yeah, we were born and raised Catholic, so there's a lot of prayer going on there.
Rosaries and
And then we got, golly, we got involved with a church over here, Church Universal and Triumphant. And so there was a lot of prayer and a lot of decreeing, which is a form of
it's
prayer.
called the Church of what again,
Church
Jim?
Universal and Triumphant. We were
Universal and
there for a
Triumph?
while. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Triumph.
So it consisted of a Western guru who is considered Guru Ma,
Channel.
a channel of the Ascended Masters. And
Oh, huh?
so
It goes way back to the old IM movement, if you've never heard of that, Danny Bellard and then I think the old IM movement is still functioning, but then Church Universal and Triumphant broke off, and
I don't think it broke off. I think it
it just ma yeah
evolved.
manifested whatever happened. Anyway, it was nice. They'd cover all the different religions, of the world.
Didn't speak a whole lot of about oneness in it's using the word oneness, although they did believe that the belief is that there's truth in every religion. So
It was pretty good. It's been misconstrued over the years as a cult and all that. We haven't been in the church since, gosh, 90s. Sometime we got into the
Oh,
90s, so
you left in 1990s? Right.
somewhere in there, 91, 92.
And it
Oh,
was
yeah.
mostly, I think, because for myself, I felt disillusioned and I got some perspective on that while I was at Tapas in India because Krishnaji really explained how Western gurus can give you a lot of knowledge, which is different than an Eastern guru who can give wisdom. And that
So
is a
Western
huge
knowledge
difference.
versus wisdom from Eastern, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So in our upbringing as Catholics and as we were part of that church, and then we did Kundalini yoga, which was more just thought and visualization. It was still that collective oneness feeling when we all did visualizations together.
Through
And
Kundalini yoga.
correct.
Yeah, with Jay Dev, and we did one of his for a week or 4 days or something, the immersion. That was pretty powerful.
In California, it was a yoga
Yeah,
retreat, an
yoga
immersion.
retreat, Kundalini yoga retreat. And so that followed the Sikh
Yogi Bhajan.
yogi. Well, actually, you go back to Nanak.
Nanak.
Nanak was he preached oneness, and he was a guru of the north. I found it fascinating that Krishnaji and Prithviji and Bhagawan are the gurus of the south that teach oneness in India. So I found they've got the golden temple for the Sikhs are up in the northern part of India somewhere, and then they come in the south.
But back to collective prayer through our meditation group. So you all felt that even before you were sick, right, Jim?
What's that? The
Collective prayer,
collective
the
prayer.
power of prayer.
Yeah, the power of prayer.
Yeah, and what
Mean,
is that power to you guys?
I have to tell you, I had a kind of a revelation for myself this morning. I started praying for people on a chat list, right?
Yes.
I didn't know those people, and I couldn't remember all the names, and I didn't bring up the chat because I was in the diksha and the meditation,
Right.
and I realized that I was asking for something rather than having gratitude or just wishing well health and stuff like that. And I realized, boy, it's so much nicer to pray in a form of gratitude than always ask, ask, ask. I want this and I want that, and help me get this and help that person do this. And rather than actually knowing that all the abundance is there, God abundance, universal abundance, whatever, the abundance is there. So we don't need to ask for it. What we need to do is be grateful for it. And that's what I, and so my prayer totally changed this morning from, and I didn't know, you know, who I was asking for because I lost track of the names and had my circle. And as I got into my family circle, then I just started wishing everybody well health and thanking them for, you know, being, just being connected. So I, it was really good because all I ended up doing then was just going to the, bringing that energy from the orb into my being, you know, transferring that energy and watching it come all the way and then disperse out to these people. And I found myself being grateful for that connection. And I don't always do that. We get into that portion sometimes of the meditation and I'm lost in terms of, you know, what to pray for or how to pray or whatever. So it was pretty powerful this morning.
So rather than asking, just feel gratitude for universal abundance is what you're saying. Yeah.
And thank you.
And really feel what's already there is what you're
it's
saying.
Already there. It's already there. The plan has been there for us and everything. So why not be grateful for it?
Yes, 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 yes. So I get that, Jim, that you had this revelation even this morning. Yes.
Sometimes I've had it before, but this morning it hit me again.
No, good for you. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, people tend to, it seems to me, ask in desperation for something
right.
they want from divine rather than being first in a sea of gratitude. Like, I mean, I think that's one of the good things about these meditations and the practices we've learned is get yourself in a beautiful state first and then have this heartfelt intention and then actually see it manifesting. So like three steps
wow.
to have it manifesting. And I remember Kumarji, I don't know if you heard him share this story, but that he was going to take his parents on a short weekend trip somewhere. And in advance of it, he visualized every single step of the way. The train trip, the place they were staying, the visit, the train back, all that. And he said everything just flowed like he manifested before he went with them also. So it just shows this power of being in that state and envisioning, you know, what you seek in your life and having it manifest exactly that way.
Beautiful, Amy. Yeah. I do remember that. And I visualized that exact thing for my trip to India. And smooth up until coming home and landing in, or coming to the United States, landing in Seattle and then missing my flight in Seattle that night to come back to Montana.
Whoops, until that last piece of it.
I guess I didn't visualize there. Once I got to the United States, I felt like, okay, come here.
That's it. Right.
But it was a good experience all around. So I'm grateful. So
good,
I want
good.
To touch a little bit about what Jim was referring to. And I think what my experience is with the our prayer group, our space for grace. Mm. That's what we call it. And it's in our morning practice. Mm-hmm. And when whoever's leading the group leads so beautifully the meditation and into Diksha that we have that collective intention already set And it's already stated that we're keeping everyone in the chat. So I don't, I mean, I look at the chat and I mark it in my consciousness. And then I pretty much let it go because I already feel the intention flowing within and growing in consciousness because we're all holding that intention together.
And so without the together, would it grow, Marianne, still?
I believe so. I believe that whatever anyone anywhere in the world is holding a vision for is contributing to that conscious healing. Like maybe the family of whoever's ailing is doing their part in praying and seeing their loved one get well and speaking to them of their love. And so I think that's all adding to the growing consciousness of the healing that goes forth in our collective prayers.
I like that because that's what the Peace Festival is all about. It's collective consciousness or visualization for all of us that will be involved in that towards a peaceful state, inner state. And so we can pray for our inner state to be peaceful. And then it's going to grow with millions of people.
And yes, millions, right.
And
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I think that our mind can a lot of times snag us into thinking we're not doing our best at contributing in the collective prayer, that the mind might tell you, oh, I can't remember the names, and that's important. and it really isn't in the scheme of things, in the larger picture, if we're already holding the intention for healing and a collective consciousness, because every one of us that have put a prayer into that chat knows that that intention is being held in their hearts. And then our hearts are joined in one consciousness. So it's already happening.
That's beautiful because that's right what happened to me this morning. I didn't know. I got more into frustration than praying. And when I realized that, because I was frustrated because who am I praying for and what do I need to pray for? And I was trying to define, you know, how I wanted to pray. And once I got out of that and just visualized, it was totally different. Then I jumped right into a real nice space that of connection with, like Marianne said, with the whole collective consciousness there of our group and beyond in our so.
Yeah, that's one of the. Oh, let me just make a note. We're all just, you know, constantly sending consciousness out. So, like you said, Marianne, you know, if we are all connected already. Then I put somebody in the chat and you put like baby Isla in the chat or whatever, you know, our consciousness is there and because we're connected, we hold the Diksha and it all just flows out for healing together. Yeah, but Jim, I think at one point you even mentioned to our group, meditation group, that you felt us somehow holding you while you were in the hospital. Is that accurate?
Well, this was an afterthought. So there was a point during my experience when I was starting to check out. I was starting to say goodbye to my physical body and thanking it. I was given a gratitude for 71 years of use. And then I went to my soul, my spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, my divine. And then I started thanking the divine for using my body on this earthly plane. And at that time, it's not like I heard a voice or nothing, but it was kind of like a nudge. You're not going yet or something like that. You know, you still got stuff to do.
You felt a nudge, like a physical nudge or in your heart?
Well,
or?
No, it was just all of a sudden my mind went from saying goodbye to everything, to everybody, family, friends, everybody I've ever met, and then saying goodbye to my divine self, because I didn't know if I was gonna, you know, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, this message came across. You're not done yet. That's what it was. You're not done yet.
More of a knowing.
Knowing. And at that time.
And knowing you're not done yet.
Yeah, you're not done yet. And that's when I would lay my money on it if I was a gambler, that the power of prayer took over.
Oh, really?
Because I surrendered. At that point in time, I went from just, even though I couldn't talk, is that my mouth had this incubator in there and ventilator, whatever you want to. Incubator.
In tube.
And I was freezing. Ventilator. I was frozen basically to death. And I was all upset and the chaos was going on. And at that time, when I got that message, you're not done yet, I surrendered to the whole process. And I remember just getting real. What I actually did is focused on my breath. And I went in my breath, the hum, sa, so hum, a come. I really
did. You?
Yes. I remember that as clear as day. And that's,
wow,
in hindsight,
already there. Consciousness,
yeah.
Even though
as soon as I surrendered, but I had to surrender everything that was going on, and so it was really cool because, and then this is where the humorous book comes in, because then I think I shared it with the group. You know, it's just, if you remember the movie Rocky, the boxing movie with Sylvester Stallone, way back, I don't know, in the '70s. And that was all of a sudden that visualization came across, and I heard the guy in the corner going, "Come on, Rocky, you can get him one more round, you can get him, Rocky." And I saw Sylvester's bloody face and everything, and you know the way he looks, and then the next thing I know, after that, I opened my eyes and everything was gone, and the room was peaceful. It was dark. And then I just said to myself, I just thought to myself, I made it. Closed my
you
eyes.
Saw a Rocky movie in your mind. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think personally, Amy, that may have been some effect of the drugs that he was on.
There's a lot of drugs.
But it happened and it's what came into his consciousness.
But no, but I connected to that power of prayer, because I went from, as soon as I went from that message to surrendering to the process, right?
Yes, I got that. The power of prayer helped you surrender, you feel.
Well, I don't know what came first, but it was so quick.
No timing.
No timing, you know? But in
time is irrelevant in that dimension,
right?
Is it?
But it's when I finally went into the breath, started doing
hum sa soham ekam.
Yep, hum sa soham ekam, and so you could see how the prayer was just starting to come in. Then I got that. Then I got the Rocky thing, and then I was I made it, and so right there in that portion of the whole thing was where I felt the power of prayer. You know, that, I mean, I didn't know what I was feeling. All I can tell you is what happened, you know?
Yeah. That you felt.
So this was an afterthought. When I found out, when Marion told me how many people were praying, because we had ACOM, we had our prayer group and other groups. And then my brother who came, he's in Tennessee and he's with a church there. And so they had not only their whole church, but all their Bible stuff going on, you know. So I had that whole prayer group, and then somebody leaked it out to our community here. And so then I had this whole community and people that I know around here praying and checking in on Facebook and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was incredible. And I think that's what got me over the hump, because, I mean, I was literally ready to check out. I didn't think I was going to make it.
So, yeah, if you're already starting to say goodbye to family members and reviewing things like that,
yeah,
thanking your body for your 71 years of use, and then you get this little nudge, this little message. You're not done yet. That's beautiful. So,
and yeah, so that's when I really do believe that that was what saved me. It was the power of all that prayer, all that human consciousness, and going into one little old me, you know, one molecule on this planet of a bunch of molecules.
Well, what I find interesting is Jim's perspective on everything, because it's all from bits and pieces and putting a puzzle together.
Yeah, because I didn't know all the physical stuff.
Even any mental.
Any mental, all of that. Marion had to fill me in. Oh, no, you were over here when that was happening, or, you know.
No, I bet you had no awareness of what was going
on
in the hospital. I mean, maybe even that you were intubated.
I had.
He was suffering. He did say that he could feel that tube down his, you know, way down into him.
Yeah, and so what I compare that whole thing to was I got a look of what it would be like in the blissful state. Because I floated, it started out floating above the clouds. So when Marion said that they put me in they had to sedate me like into a coma so they can put me in this ice bag, mm-hmm. because they had to paralyze me.
Paralyzed because of the intubated.
Right. So they had to paralyze me for that. So now when I look back, because the first sensation I recalled when I came to was, and it wasn't, it was floating above the clouds. In fact, the cloud cover last night got to a place where I called Mary and I said, see how that looks up there? And that's exactly how it looked when I was floating above them. And I asked her, I says, what was my head propped up? And she said, yeah. And I said, so that's how I was. I was on my back and I was kind of looking over my chest and I was just floating along the clouds, just like doing a backstroke in the water. And then it went from there to the chaos. So then she clued me in. Well, you were paralyzed. They had to paralyze you and induce this coma, semi-coma. And then all of a sudden it was all the ice and the ice bags and, you know, this and that.
So those are all the details.
Yeah, those are all the details. So I felt like that was all my past. I was going through all the past, all the good, the bad and the ugly of my past. That was all my karma. Mm-hmm. And then once I surrendered to all that suffering, I got comfort in the suffering. And the comfort was
the prayer cushion.
The prayer cushion. The cushion of prayer. I like that. So there you have it. That's the real story. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jim. The cushion of prayer. I love that. Yeah, I can envision what that would feel like. You know, you surrender and you feel somewhat held, or, you know, in a cushion.
Not so much resistance.
Yeah, everything else was resisting.
I mean, his face even had a painful look on it until we got to Bozeman and specialists were on and things got regulated. And then it got, you know, then he had, even though he was intubated, his coloring still wasn't good and he was still blue in places, his expression changed on his face.
Wow, so isn't that interesting? That's the first time you shared that with me.
Oh, because you were being on a cushion of prayer.
I like to think that.
You know what'd be fascinating is to it for me is it's interesting. I wonder how many people how they were praying for my you know, I just don't know. I mean, it's like,
and I really think it's
were
the
they praying for
it.
The doctors? Were they praying for my survival?
We know that they were praying for the doctors family? Too, because. Yeah. They asked what, I mean, certain family members and community members here asked for the doctor's name.
Oh, okay.
So And we did get an excellent doctor, so I'm grateful.
Yeah, so it's fascinating how we all pray different and we pray. Yeah.
And so for myself, Amy, being amidst the crises of the biggest fear that I can even imagine having on this human within this human experience, and I know you've gone through it already, so I'm sure you can relate to the fear. And I did visit the fear in tapas, and I've visited the fear of losing Jim many times because he goes off into the wilderness and skis, hikes up mountains and skis down, and has done that for years. And so I know that I've intellectually went through the fears. This time I went through it mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and the whole integration of all of that landed during this experience. And I know I would have gone through it much differently if I had not been to tapas, if I had not believed in the collective prayer. And I really did feel the underlying calm, even when I was crying and trying to calm my daughter down from her trauma and my own. And yet I felt the calm in there within myself. And once I really sobbed and felt the pain and allowed myself to feel the pain, and then just literally said, and I can't help but wonder if it's the same time Jim surrendered, I said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And as soon as I said that, I knew I would accept whatever state he came out in, whatever end result we had to face. I knew I could. It was like
fantastic.
that cushion of prayer was really beautiful because it was just, I could feel every cell in my body go into relaxation and every muscle just relax and be at peace with whatever. And in that very same morning, I took a hike up behind my daughter's house because she has a beautiful trail behind her house. And that was my saving grace every day to get out in nature to shift the perspective on things. And as I climbed that trail, I saw all these trees and I felt the strength of all those roots and all that strength of every tree just filling me full of strength.
All right. Well, we just jumped into that interview, Marianne and I. A friend of ours called us, and she's connected with a Unity Church, I think, in Vashon Island, Washington. And they were doing, I don't know, some kind of study on the power of prayer. And that's how we got in that discussion. And then we related it to my recent incident with death, which we covered in the last couple of shows. And so that's what that interview is all about. Marianne and I were being interviewed. Now I would... I want to start focusing on the second half of the show here on the peace meditation and the world peace meditation that's coming up. It starts actually on the 4th of September, and then there's daily meditations or whatever that you can do. We do a soul sync meditation, and we're going to do that shortly here daily, and it's for peace and in the world. And this on the 18th of September, everybody's invited for, I guess it's about, I don't know if it's 8 hours or 4 hours, something like that. But I'll play that excerpt. We played it last week, what the Peace Meditation Festival is all about. And it's really nice. They usually have speakers from all over the world and the United States, talking about different aspects of spirituality and the mind, etc. And then there's different meditations and talks about peace, world peace, total consciousness. And first thing we have to do is take care of our inner peace, because once our inner peace is taken care of and we're in a beautiful state, then the more people that get into that state, the easier it is to have that oneness consciousness of peace throughout the world. Last year, they somehow tracked it, these some sophisticated system, and they had well over 1 million people that came onto the 18th on the final day to join for that peace World Peace Festival. And this year, I think they're expecting like 1.3 million to join in. So, and it could be more if we keep spreading the word. So here's we're going to do this soul sync for peace. I want you to just get ready for your meditating. Close your eyes, and first Prithiji will talk a little bit about it, and then we'll get into the meditation, and she'll lead it.
Namaste. It gives me great joy to lead you through Soul Sync for Peace. From today, you are beginning your contribution to world peace by doing Soul Sync and by nurturing peace consciousness within yourself. This will be your strength. This will be your contribution to end inner violence and to contribute to world peace. It will be your magic potion to heal your heart of all its wounds, and a wellspring of blessing and grace to manifest synchronicities that would pave way for a peaceful and a beautiful life. Soul Sync has freed scores of individuals of their inner judgments and inner prejudice against each other. It has opened their hearts to great connection and compassion. Are you all ready to do the soul sync with me? Please be seated with your eyes closed, your spine erect, and your body still. We will move into the first stage of the soul sync. Take 8 conscious breaths. Use your thumb and your fingers to keep count. Move to the second stage. Inhale slowly. Exhale, make a humming sound. Do it for 8 more counts. Thank you. Take 8 conscious breaths. Bring awareness to the natural pause that occurs between every inhalation and exhalation. For the next 8 cycles of breath, chant Aham on your exhalation. Do this for 8 conscious breaths. Allow the tips of your index finger and the thumbs touch each other. Rest your hands upon your thighs. See and feel everything around you. All forms, see it dissolve into light. Feel yourself expand into limitless consciousness. this beautiful state hold a heartfelt intention for peace. Peace within you and peace in the world around you. Shanti, Shanti. May you become peaceful within. May your loved ones become peaceful. May the world around you become peaceful. Whenever you feel ready, you may slowly open your eyes.
Lowe's has all.
Okay. So now what I'd like to do is a little reading. And this is from the Four Sacred Secrets by Prithiji and Krishnaji. If you haven't picked up this book yet, I would go to the Akam website, akam.com. And they should have that book for sale on the website, I would think. So you can learn all about classes and the breathing room, which is a whole set of meditations. So it's a nice book to pick up and just dip into every so often. Tonight I want to focus on some question and answers from the book. And this was, I found this in the epilogue of the book. The first question is, what is Akam World Peace Festival? And how can people around the world participate? So here it goes. Let us explore for a moment what peace means to each one of us. For most of us, when we think of peace, what comes to mind is men in gray suits shaking hands and deciding against nuclear armaments or pacts against cross-border terrorism. This is definitely a form of peacemaking, but this image upholds the illusion that the majority are mere spectators when it comes to achieving peace in the world, not active creators. But are we? Let us look more closely. Can you answer these few questions authentically? Have you, the listener, ever been affected by either emotional or physical abuse in your life? Have you suffered from the effects of division or separation at some point in your life? Have you ever been impacted by conflict that someone else created? Every one of us who has suffered parental abuse knows the value of peace. Every one of us who has lived through a painful divorce or a separation knows the value of peace. Every one of us who has been a victim of discrimination at work, at home, or at school knows the value of peace. And so it is not a matter that should be left solely to world leaders and mediators. Let us remember we are connected in consciousness. What happens in each person's individual consciousness will be amplified and reflected in the collective as possibly war or violence. Your awakening to peace and your meditation for the peace of all living beings is the key to the world moving toward peace. Peace is not a cultivated virtue. It's a state of being, a beautiful inner state. So how do we put an end to our conflicted inner state and manifest a peaceful external world? How can we truly transform ourselves, our families, and our communities? Let's first consider the most common approaches. How much success have we found in creating a harmonious society by way of moral education, a value-based approach, religious education, a belief-based approach, or reason, an approach focused on understanding the mutual benefits or losses? Can conflict be resolved through education alone? Can transformation be achieved through cultivation of virtue alone? Even if some momentary reforms are achieved by way of reason or virtue, for a lasting transformation to happen, one must address the root cause of war and violence, and in most cases, at the very core of every instance of violence and war is a suffering state, which causes one to indulge in destructive speech and action. Transforming our state of being is the surest way to sustainable peace. That is why ACAM World Peace Festival is not peace activism. It is a movement in consciousness toward peace and will happen every year, this year in the month of September, from September 4th through September 18th. In addition to those thousands who travel to ACAM, peacemakers across the globe will connect every evening to ACAM online to participate in a collective meditation on varied aspects of peace, ranging from religious tolerance to kindness toward animals to nurturing a deep respect for women and children to ending economic exploitation to promoting racial harmony. On the 11th day, more than a million people from all over the world will connect to ACAM, where we collectively meditate for world peace. ACAM is uniquely positioned for this celebration because it acts as an amplifier and impacts human consciousness. So, one way to get to the beautiful state is by participating in different ACAM events. And like Marion went to the Tapas to work on her inner peace. I'm always trying to work on my inner peace, that's for sure. I'm sure we all are. And one of the things that ACAM holds once a year, and it's usually in December, and I think I put that, their first one was in 2018, and I think that I have that a couple of shows prior to this one. And it's called the ACAM Enlightenment Festival. So by enlightenment, they mean mostly awakening, to be in this awakened state of consciousness where you have developed this inner peace. And it's not going to be on a daily basis, but that's what a great thing to strive for and visualize. And and manifest that happening. And in fact, ACOM has monthly manifests that assist us in that pursuit. So let me, this is another question. It says, what is the ACOM Enlightenment Festival? How can I get involved? Let me begin my answer by posing another question. How many states of enlightenment are there? Our brains have more than a billion neurons with a quadrillion neural connections. So technically, we can experience a quadrillion different states of enlightenment. However, if you look at the way different cultures have spoken and about expanded states of consciousness throughout history, you could boil down the infinite unique experiences into five classical enlightenments, states of consciousness. Prithiji and I designed the ACOM Enlightenment Festival in such a way that you might experience these five states. The seven-day celebration held in the month of December draws passionate seekers from more than 60 countries to ACOM. But the festival is not just a once-in-a-lifetime adventure. These states will transform your brain chemistry, creating new neurological circuits so that you may return to these blissful states again and again in your dream states and during your waking hours. The experience we will guide you through will transform you into an authentic, passionate seeker of the enlightened way of being. When you are back in the world and you have moments of confusion and conflict, you will know that there is a space in your consciousness that turbulence can't touch. When you are back in the world and overwhelmed by a state of suffering, you will know that there is a state in consciousness where all existence is bliss. When you are back in the world and experience the pain of separation, you will know that there is a space in consciousness where the other is inseparable from you. When you are back in the world and you feel lonely or face the fear of death, you will know that there is a space in consciousness where all is one and you are the one.
Even if one person in a family is not peaceful, it hurts all of us. Even if one community in our nation is not in harmony, it affects the fabric of harmony for the entire nation. If one species on earth is threatened to extinction, it affects the entire web of life, for we are all interconnected. So what do you want to do to make this peace happen? Would you join Shri Prithaji and me if we showed you a way to contribute to the peace of all living beings? Shri Prithaji and I launched the ACOM World Peace Festival in the year 2018. Our vision of peace is peace for all living beings, not only for humanity. To us, peace goes much beyond social activism. It goes beyond politics and policies. It is an awakening. An awakening to a state of peace that must happen in every one of your hearts. And this state of peace must flow from you to your family members, co-workers, friends, community, and all life forms. A leader of organization, a political leader, an educator, medical professional, a social reformer, a parent, a student, whoever you may be, you can contribute to world peace from wherever you are by becoming a peacemaker and participating in the ACOM World Peace Festival. The festival would last for 14 days from September 4th to September 17th, during which peacemakers across the world will be taking the ACOM World Peace Festival events to various communities, educational institutions, clubs, jails, organizations, and groups. We will be meditating on peace between nations, peace for young people, peace for Mother Earth. Ekam peacemakers all over the world will lead peace soul sync meditations, where they will hold an intention for individual and world peace. On the 18th of September, we will be celebrating the culmination of the festival as the Ekam World Peace Day. On that day, Shri Preetaji and I will connect to you live from Ekam to bring you the sacred energies and blessings of Ekam. Ekam World Peace Day is a phenomenon. Millions of people, millions of peacemakers from around the world holding peace energy points, gathering together as families, groups and communities will join us in a special peace meditation to impact the collective consciousness of humanity. Can you imagine the power we will be generating with such a powerful collective peace meditation? The peace energy points that are held by the peacemakers are like satellite ships that are connected to the mothership, which is Ekam. I invite you to take part in the Ekam World Peace Festival from September 4th onwards and join us as an Ekam peacemaker along with your soul circle to meditate on the Ekam World Peace Day on the 18th of September for an hour and contribute to world peace. To contribute to peace for all living beings is our greatest dharma as human beings. Dharma means duty. For a long time, humanity has been part of the problem. It is time we become part of the solution. Join Shri Preetaji and me in this noble peace mission.
Okay, folks, that wraps up the show for this Thursday. And I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little different. Every week it is. If there's any time left, like I usually do, I'll throw on a meditation. Oh, Marian just showed up and she wants to sing our
signature song.
Signature song. Hi, honey.
Hi.
Now, here we go. Ready? May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on, guide your way on, guide your way on. Peace, brothers and sisters. Peace throughout the world.